welcome, everybody. It's Elaine from Impact ADHD, and I am thrilled to welcome you back to another podcast with our guest, Celine Ashwood. I'm going to tell you about her in a minute, but first let me say hi, Celine. Welcome.
Hi.
It's so good to have you here.
It's so great to be here.
So we're going to talk to Celine Ashwood today. She is an author, but a little bit younger than most of the authors we usually speak with. Celine was 11 years old when she wrote her first book on ADHD. I suspect it's not going to be the last one. And she authored a book called Why Can't You Stop Talking? 11-Year-Old Me and ADHD. And she shares funny stories and practical tips for organizing. At the time that she wrote it, she was a seventh grader. How old are you now, Celine?
I'm in seventh grade now.
You're still in seventh grade?
Yeah, before I believe it was sixth grade because my birthday's in August.
Got it. All right. Perfect. So she has published poems and stories and magazines and other things in the past, and she really, I'm looking forward to finding out a little bit more about what motivated her to write this book. But this book is really fun and inspirational and a great place to send your kids with ADHD, and I think it's also really pretty helpful for parents. So I'm thrilled to have her with us, and we're going to talk a little bit today about what kids think parents should know about ADHD. So welcome, Celine. How do you want to start us off? What should kids' parents know about ADHD?
Well, the true thing is that many people just see it, first of all, you have to be the kind of parents that actually believe that the kids are actually suffering from this condition, because a lot of people just believe it's some kind of, you know, excuse or just like, oh, you're daydreaming too much and that's it. But first of all, of course, they have to believe.
So the first thing kids want parents to know is that this is real.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a real thing. And the second thing is that they do need to know how hard school has gotten, because I'm sure it's backed up by studies that school has gotten harder over the years, no matter what grade you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, also you need to know what type of kid their child is. Like, Is your kid someone who is rarely very good at organization, or are they completely terrible at it? Or are they the type of people that love science but dislike English? Or do they love math but dislike theater or something like that? Because once you know what your child loves, it's easier to tie that into everything else and make it just easier for them and yourself as a parent.
Mm-hmm. So parents need to know that it's the real thing, that school is harder for you guys than it was for us, and it really helps to understand your child and know what their – in our language, we would say what their strengths are and what their challenges are.
True.
Yep. Anything else that kids really think their parents should know? I know we're going to get into a conversation about motivation in a little bit, but any other bright tips that would help us out?
Sorry, I hear my dog barking, but – really to just honestly, in all fairness, kind of really show your child that your entire relationship isn't just academics and you have to finish this assignment and you have to do this and I don't want you to do this all day. Like, because that more makes the kids feel like they want to do it less. When you show your child more of just human standard and say, yes, I know it's hard. And you also try to make, you also try to be a real person with your kid. You don't want to have to, every time you come in the room, it's not just to talk to them. It's just assignments and homework and stuff. You want them to think of you as still their parent, not just their honest, like, reminder of school.
Yeah, not just a nag.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. So focusing on the relationship, really making sure that the relationship between a mom and a dad and their kid is not just about school, but that there's other stuff involved.
Mm-hmm.
That's really huge. Cool. Anything else on that realm? Because that's some good sage advice you're offering here. Everything you're saying so far is what we talk about in the Coach Approach and what we teach parents all the time. So thank you. You're doing great. Keep going.
I think that's enough on that part right now, because I think it covers quite a bit.
It does. Okay, so recapping, parents kids want you to know, when your kids have ADHD, that ADHD is the real thing. It's not made up. That school is probably harder for them than it was for you, and that makes it harder for them to manage lots of things. They want you to know who they are as a kid and what their strengths are, as well as what their challenges are. And they really want you to focus on your relationship with them and not just have everything be about school. And that is a great segue to talk about your book, which is Why Can't You Stop Talking? 11-Year-Old Me and ADHD. And before we get into to the conversation about motivation, I just want to ask you one question. What motivated you to write this book?
Well, the real story is that I remember that I can't remember which organization it was from, but it was some kind of contest or writing thing. And even before I wrote this, I did love to publish poems and short stories and things like that because I love writing. And also, I think ADHD gave me the gift of writing, plus my mom. But basically, I wrote like a poem called "What It's Like," and I talked to and I tried to explain in what's it?
Keep going.
Mom, could you move the dog?
My dog.
Thanks. But basically, I wrote a poem called "What It's Like," and I tried to describe with similes, everything like that, how it felt in some kind of class when you have ADHD and the heart and how hard it is to focus and just that you can zone out and then you come back to your reality and you're like, oh no, I missed the lesson. How did I do that? And then the contest was shut down because they didn't have enough they didn't have enough staff to go forward with it. And I kind of felt like I missed an opportunity to educate people on it because I know, you know, not just people with ADHD would read this. So I've always wanted to write a book, but I never like settled on what it was going to be about. And I said, Mom, I want to write a self-help book. And she was totally keen on the idea. She's like, yes, let's get started, because she works in publishing, so she knew it was going to not be too much. And
awesome.
Yes, I ended up with this, and I tried to make it as in, I love to include my young age in the title, because I felt it's easier for kids to know when it's someone their own age and someone who really understands them giving them advice.
Yeah. Yeah, really good point. It definitely gives them somebody to connect to. So we were going to talk about motivation, and maybe we can do it in the context of how you stayed motivated to write the book. But, you know, what do you know about motivation and ADHD? What do you have to think about and deal with motivation?
Well, I believe that I was actually born with motivation, sometimes I find it hard to answer this question. But a way I usually do this is a lot of kids don't know their dream for the future, but just when you think of a goal you love and then you think of the thing you're trying to stay motivated for and you put that into the path of getting there, it really puts it in perspective of how important this is going to be, and it gives you, like, a fire to finish this or do well in it or whatever it really is. And for me, like, I love writing, and sometimes I do definitely want to do a second book, of course, maybe soon. But that gives me a lot of motivation to excel in things like English class, which I already love, but still.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, since ADHD people are often thought of, like, underachievers, I kind of use that as a motivator to defy what others think of us. Which is a common thing. Usually ADHD people, you sometimes find, you know, a bit of defiance, a bit of rebellious kind of thing. Not all, but most.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I use that kind of attitude to think of, I'm going to break the stereotype of we can never get anything done and we don't think of anything as important.
Mm-hmm.
And when I feel like I'm losing motivation for something, I had it before, I try to remember where I started, why I'm deeper into it. You know, I remember how important it is and what it's taught me so far and how I want to continue learning and experiencing for that, not just academics, but really everything.
Well, so let me ask you a question about academics, if I can, because, I can imagine that you love, like, English class and literature classes and that kind of thing. How do you feel about math and science kinds of classes?
Ooh.
Honest answer.
Honest answer. Well, usually it's kind of, I'm usually like up and down with this kind of thing. Sometimes like during the day, I'll be like, oh, I hate this. I'm never going to use this, which is sometimes true.
Yeah.
And although I do have good teachers, but there was one thing that my math teacher said to me one day. And like in sixth grade, I used to be the person that always be like, when are we going to use this? And my teacher hated me for it. But my new teacher, today, someone asked, when are we going to use this problem in real life? And it was actually one of my friends. And the thing she said really, like, got me into it and got me to, like, bring my grades up and everything. And she said, well, if you were going to use it, she said, if you're going to take math and if you're going to learn all the math that you're going to actually use in life, unless you want to be, like, a mathematician or a scientist or something like that, you would not have gone past fourth or fifth grade. And the thing is, there's a difference between fourth graders and fifth graders and an 18-year-old. Because if we were able to know everything that a fourth grader has and still be able to conquer the real world, there would be no difference between us. Because mm-hmm. you still get experiences from learning this kind of thing. And I was just like, well then. It just, yeah, and it really helped to know that a teacher understood our confusion with that kind of thing. Because she blatantly said before she said that, you're not. And then she made that, you know, kind of speech.
But so what I'm hearing is she gave you a reason to find it important, to make it meaningful to you in some way.
Yes, and it is hard to find it important for someone like me normally because I'm not a Common Core person. I really like English because there's no, like, right and wrong answer. It's all of exploring and, you know, putting different twists on things, which I do love because I don't like following a certain, like, system or whatever, but that kind of mm-hmm. just got me to really like that kind of thing.
Yeah. So it sounds like you keep yourself motivated by the thing. It's not hard for you to stay motivated with the things that you do like. How do you keep yourself motivated for things that you may not love to do?
Well, one, that speech, but also I usually find, like, this is a huge thing with everyone, take something I love to tie it into that. Like, sometimes I'll find ways to make math word problems or science equations into, like, things of bands I love. Like, if, what's it? Am I allowed to say the name of a band or no?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So there was this, if Panic at the Disco started out in 2009, no, 2006, and each year they had three more records, but they end up with seven records by 2017. What was the average number of records they produced each year?
Got it.
It does sound very silly, but it really does get you into that because it's harder to get your mind into something that you can't relate to, and it's like, wait, I can't remember this part of data. I got to go back and recalculate everything. But once it's mm-hmm. something you love, it's something you can remember and embed into yourself to get through whatever it is you're thinking of.
Great. So you really – so there are five things that motivate the ADHD brain, the way I learned it. And one of them is interest. And it sounds like you are just really, really good at finding a way to make something interesting for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, and then another one, just so you know, is novelty. It's when something is new. Just, do you get more into something sometimes just because it's a new idea or something to explore? Does that show up for you sometimes? Yeah. Do you ever notice that?
It does, because usually I find myself being worse in, like, you know, when I'm like in the home stretch of a unit for like science or something. Mm-hmm. But once I start learning something new, that's really when I take off, because, you know, it's fresh in your mind and you're learning all this stuff. And it's like,
yep.
it's the day you take the most notes or something like that. And that's really when I excel the most. But
yep.
it is to use your interest to keep up that kind of level throughout whatever you're learning.
Yeah, it is hard. So what advice do you have for motivating kids, whether it's in school or out of school, if they don't know necessarily what they love, or maybe they don't even love anything about school, or they certainly may not love doing their chores? What can you suggest for them or for the parents who are trying to support them?
I'll start with the parents. So you could help your kids see their efforts and accomplishments. Even if it's, like, small things, like finishing a homework assignment, you can see that as an accomplishment because it's, like, you have to work twice as hard because of this condition. And the fact that you did this is amazing. Not amazing, but, like, the fact that you
it
did
is
this
amazing.
Is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you amazing.
Sorry. Another thing is need to relate stay in or academics or whatever to their everyday life, which is sometimes I do that and I don't even realize it. Like if family like jokes around a lot and like I think one time my sister said, I think my dad said he didn't like love and sister said, if you say that again, you're going to be Caesar and we're going to be the townspeople, something like that, which really helped me get into that because I could even incorporate it into jokes or similes, and it just really helps you train your brain to remember facts, which can really help you, which obviously memory is a big part of school.
Mm-hmm. And a big challenge for some people with ADHD.
Yes. I see that.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Another idea is really, this is something that you could set yourself, is you really have to set goals, and not just like genie goals, like I'm gonna write a book as big as Harry Potter by the age of 16. No. but the thing is really to set milestones, goals, and things like that for yourself. So when you reach them, you're like, yes, I'm making progress. I can do this. I got it. Which, because again, self-confidence is a huge part of motivation.
Mm-hmm. We talk about it in terms of having successes because success leads to more success. And you got to celebrate the little successes so that you can move towards the bigger ones.
Yeah.
And that's what I hear you describing.
That's what I'm trying to describe, so thank you.
I think you're doing great. So what do you have, and we don't have that much time left, we only have a few minutes left, but what advice do you have for parents whose kids don't seem to show motivation for anything? And I hear that from parents a whole lot. Nothing motivates my kids, or what I'll hear is, nothing motivates my kids except for this a video, a screen.
Yeah, that's actually something I was going to talk about, as in, like, really it ties into interesting, as in, but also another thing for people who don't show motivation, anything for them.
Wait, stop for a minute because you're cutting out and we didn't hear what you said. So say that again. Say it again.
A big thing for people who for parents who have who kids show motivation is do not start by doing everything for them because that's just going to make them feel that, sometimes it's like they feel guilty, but also it's just going to make them think they can keep doing that. But other than that, it really ties back into the interest and the motive and the, interest. So really something saying, take something they love doing and see if you can turn that into a hobby or a strategy for academics. For example, like if your child loves animals and you have a pet, most systems take care of a pet, which can help your child with organization and speed, which is very good for the real world. And also, here's the thing for preteens and teens. If your child loves to sleep a lot, which does happen, I know I do, but you have to really help them and try turning those like unconscious hours into things where they can practice creative skills, which usually lies in ADHD people. And it could be spent simply exploring at home activities where they create something, which is,
so give them ways to focus on something maybe that's not schoolwork, but other things that may have a creative outlet for them.
Yes, which does help with school.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And,
what else? What else do you want to share?
Well, a big thing is don't try to force your kids into new things. This never happened to me because my parents listen to me. But if you're trying to force your kids into new things, it's just going to be a total waste of time. Like, you're going to do dance because I saw on the internet it's good for ADHD people, because if they don't show interest, it's just going to make them resent things more, and it's just going to give more negative energy towards things, which can obviously end up in more negative energy towards school, which just really takes everything bad because it's easier to do something when you love it.
So what can you say to parents who say, there's nothing my kid's interested in? They don't want to do anything or try anything. What would they say? What should they say to their kids?
It's simply not true, because you can turn anything into a hobby or honestly into a career for them if they would like. You can turn anything they love, even if it's just a screen. Even if it's just they love watching videos all day, or they love playing on your phone all day or something. You can turn that into a hobby. Like, if they just love, just friends or whatever, you can help them get into a hobby that involves social, as in that could be something like band or whatever, because it has a sense of community, which you can tell all day they like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's truly a place of opportunity.
Awesome. Well, believe it or not, we are over time, so I'm going to have to wrap this
up.
I know. I told you it would go really fast, did I? I'm going to come back and ask you one more question, but I want to just remind people that our guest is Celine Ashwood from Maryland, from the state of Maryland in the United States, and she wrote a book when she was 11 called Why Can't You Stop Talking, 11-Year-Old Me and ADHD. And she is now, are you 12 now?
Yeah, I'm about to turn 13 very soon.
I was going to say, almost 13, and in what grade? 7th grade, and in middle school, and already obviously thinking about her next book, but has written a really lovely book for parents and kids about understanding ADHD from the perspective of an 11-year-old girl, and it's really wonderful. And you can get it on impactadhd.com. It's in our recommended reading section, and I strongly encourage it you to go check it out. I want to ask you one final question before we go. I know we're a little over time, but I think people are going to be loving listening to this, so we're going to go a little longer. Do you think that motivation at a young age is key to future success, or can people with ADHD find motivation later in life? What's your thought?
It is better to find your motivation early when you can try out different things without worrying about it as much. But it's no mandatory. It's not mandatory, because if you find it later in life, that also is going to light a fire under you to do more and find your motivation. But it is better because, you know, when you're a kid, you can, like, you have a vast variety of things. But when you're an adult and some of those things maybe cost money, or you have other things to do, like a job or a kid to take care of, it is much harder. But they both have their ups. But I would recommend finding it early in life. But yes, if not.
Well, what I love about listening to you and speaking to you and having read your work is that you clearly have a lot of energy, and you've taken that energizer bunny part of being a person with ADHD, and you've figured out how to apply it, right? Like how to use it to motivate yourself, to focus on what really interests you, and then really dive into it. And that is a beautiful thing to witness, and I think it's a wonderful thing to share with parents, because sometimes parents really don't know how, especially if they don't have it themselves, don't know how to be with their kids with ADHD. And you've really given a great model for parents to show, you know, find what you're interested in and dive into it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So any other words of wisdom, anything else you want to share before we close?
Something important is actually runs in my family. Is my dad is the one who has ADHD, but my mom is a true helper with us in academics. So don't just try to think that, oh, the one with ADHD needs to help, because it really takes all the effort it can get for someone to feel motivated to do this and, you know, to do well in school even with this condition where they have to try even harder than the rest.
Mm-hmm. That's really well put. We rely on the people who don't have the ADHD in our world to support us and to help motivate those of us who do have it to really reach our potential and try hard. Because it is hard to keep trying harder every day and know that you're having to work so much harder than so many of your friends. It really is. All right. So our guest, Celine, thank you. Thank you for being here. It's been really lovely talking to you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was really amazing to share this.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And I know it's going to be a great podcast and people are going to love listening to it. So welcome. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Our guest today has been Celine Ashwood, and she wrote a fabulous book called Why Can't You Stop Talking, 11-Year-Old Me and ADHD. and you can access it from the recommended reading section on impactadhd.com. I believe it's also available on Amazon. And we'd love you to get to it through Impact. And while you're there, you can look at all of the other podcasts and articles and guest expert webinars and resources that are available for our guests on Impact ADHD, which is a fabulous resource for parents, not just for kids with ADHD, but kids with all kinds of complex issues. So thanks for listening. Celine, thanks again for being here, and everybody have a great day.
Thank you. It was amazing.